This is just a short announcement to say that second tithe assistance for the feast in the U.S. was mailed out last week. If you have not received yours, please get a hold of the church as soon as possible. And now for the sermon.
So I'd like to say welcome to everyone today on God's Sabbath. We are here in Vancouver with Laura, Myrtle, Jim, and myself. So I would like to say welcome to everyone on God's Sabbath. We've been going through a series of sermons about what God is doing. And we've been looking at how God uses gardening principles for you and me so that we can understand God's plan. And we have been looking at God's harvest and how those harvests will take place in God's plan. So God has been telling you and me that we are to produce fruit in His garden that He has. God tells us in Romans, and you don't have to turn there, that the wages of sin is death. In other words, if we are not obedient and we have sin in our life and we do not produce fruit in God's garden, what that will bring about is death. Death for eternity if it's not repented of. So God uses gardening principles for you and me about how we are to bear fruit in His garden. When we look back in time at what Solomon said and what Solomon came to understand, Solomon said that we should consider the work of God. In other words, we should always consider God's plan and what God is doing and what God's plan is for all of mankind eventually. Solomon came to understand that God was the only one that could make straight paths for our feet to tell us the way that we are to walk. God is the only one that has the solutions to the way that man has to live life. Solomon said that all of man's efforts are like grasping for the wind. And that's a very good analogy because that is basically what it's like in Satan's world. It is like grasping for the wind because of what Satan has produced in this world. And it is like grasping for the wind. So our mind, where our mind should be, is not on the lusts that are in man in this Satan's world. To live according to the influences that have been brought about by this being. And to live in his world that he has created. So we have a battle. And when we look at the debates that are taking place, just in America, the presidential debates that we see, we can see man's mind in the ability to swell beyond its capacity. Much beyond what this physical skull can hold. And we can see this through the politicians in Satan's world. We can see how great they think they are. And I've used Donald Trump in the past. And this hotel would not contain his mind. That's how big it could probably swell. So we understand this, and we see how all of the politicians think that they can fix this world. And actually, there's only one that can fix this world. And God tells you and me how it is to be done. God tells you and me that He has a garden. And God tells us that He will have a harvest from His garden. It will take place. And that first harvest is just on the horizon. We can see it. When we look at what the Apostle Paul came to understand, what God put in Paul's mind to write in his book, Paul said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. Some in this world are very wealthy, but God tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain," and we know what God is saying. Because if we live God's way, that's what we have. We have that contentment. We have that peace of mind that God tells us that we can have. Even amongst all the trials that we have. Paul said that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And when we look at the politicians of this world, Some of them are billionaires. Some are millionaires. God says that they will carry nothing out of this world. That Satan's world is coming to an end. God's world is on the horizon, brother. And we can see it. So God said that godliness with contentment is great gain. There is only one place that you can have this contentment. And that is when you have God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit that He has granted to you and me. Those that He has called. Those that are in His garden. Those that God will harvest from His garden. God said that we brought nothing into this world and that we can carry nothing out. The only thing that you and me can carry out of this world when we die is if you have God's Holy Spirit. It's the only thing that you can carry out of this world with you. Does not matter how much money you have accumulated while you were here. Does not matter how much wealth that you may have amassed. God says we brought nothing into this world and it's certain that we will carry nothing out except for what God has granted you and me, His Holy Spirit. God says that having food and clothing while we are in Satan's world, that we are not to be consumed with the lust that we find in this world, Satan's world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We shouldn't lust for anything that is in Satan's world. Absolutely nothing. God says that there is nothing in Satan's world that we can carry out with us. So we should be content because we have the greatest treasure that could ever be offered to anyone. God likens it like a treasure found in a field. And this will be your title today, treasure. God is telling us through His book, for those that find this treasure, to go and sell everything that they have. Anything that we could possibly own and buy that treasure. That treasure that God has led you and me to. And it's priceless, brother, what you have. When we look at those politicians, some that are billionaires, does not compare to what you have, brother. You have that treasure that God told us about in that field. You have that pearl of great price. Solomon came to understand the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon said that we should always fear God and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. In other words, that should be your focus. That is what should consume your life. Those commandments. It's not about amassing all the wealth in Satan's world. That's not what it's about. And that's not the treasure that God talks about in His book. It's not about that wealth. It's about that treasure that God is offering to you and me. Eternal life without pain, without suffering. Our minds cannot comprehend such a time when there is no pain, no suffering. Solomon said that God will bring every work into judgment. And we know God's plan and we know how that will take place. Solomon said that God would bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So there's coming a day of judgment for all of mankind. We understand that we are under that judgment now. It is our time now. We are under judgment to see if we can attain that pearl of great price, that treasure that is in that field that God tells us about. That's where we're at. So we understand what Solomon was saying. We can see the uselessness of focusing on the goods of this world. And we have to be careful to keep our focus on our God and what God is creating. His spiritual creation, Elohim. That's what God is creating. So that is to be our focus on God's plan and how to live our life while we are in Satan's world. We know what Jeremiah said about the heart, the mind of man. That it is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it? So we know what Jeremiah was saying. We understand Jeremiah also said it, that it is not in man to direct his own steps. We don't have that capability. So we have to have help to live the way that God says live. We have to be careful and understand that we have this carnal physical mind. And with this mind, we can use our own understanding. And if we turn away from the great God of this universe by using that mind, we know the end results. And we have seen so many that sat side by side with you and me on God's Sabbath. And that's what they did. They began to use their mind instead of the mind of God. So we have to focus on where God is leading you and me. He is going to create His family Elohim, brother. And hopefully that's with you and me. Hopefully we can be harvested from God's garden. God teaches us Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. That's where we find the truth from God, the present truth, the path that God is leading you and me down. And we find that week by week, actually, Sabbath by Sabbath. So let's turn over to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 12. We are in the year of dedication. And the trials and the pressures of this world is upon God's people. And I know we've talked to many this week. It's been a tough week for some. The trials. And for some it may be our job. For others it may be family. And it's different things for different ones. But whatever it may be, we always have to be on guard. We always have to be careful and not let it affect our focus. Our focus of who we are, where we are going, and what is in store for what God is creating. God uses gardening principles to show you and me that we are to grow in that garden so that we can be harvested from God's garden. And it's a good analogy that God uses because all of us can understand those principles. Whether it would be a flower that grows in our garden or even a weed that grows in our garden, we can see the principles. And we have to understand that we cannot, that whatever happens in Satan's world affect our spiritual lives. And if we let it do so, God has given us examples in His book. We have examples in the Church of God, PKG. I mentioned earlier about those that walk side by side with you and me that are no longer in God's garden, and they cannot be harvested from God's garden. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, God tells us to beware. So when God says to beware in His book, you and me should take it seriously. Because when you say beware, that means that danger is somewhere lurking very close to you. So God is warning you and me, and He's telling us to be alert and understand what it's all about. Because we are in Satan's world, where the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life can reach out and grab you so quick. God says that we are to beware, lest there be in any of us, let's notice what it's about, an evil heart of disbelief. Unbelief. So this is about the mind. Because it's in the mind that this can take place, that unbelief. And it's just like planting a little seed of doubt in the mind. And then that doubt can lead you to departing from the living God. And we've seen it over and over. And when it happens, it's like flipping a switch. I've seen it happen down through time in God's church. especially since their apostasy. And it was like flipping a switch, brother. Verse 15, God says, today if you will hear His voice. So let's notice what God is telling us. We went through a sermon series and looked how they rebelled back in Moses' day. Those that God had led out of Egypt, out of slavery. And we saw how they rebelled over and over and over. And we understand that these examples were written for you and me, the church of God. That's who they were written for our examples. Those that the end of the ages has come, that's you and me. And they are examples for you and me, and that's why they are there. So God is telling you and me what to heed and what to be aware of. And it's about unbelief. That's what it's about. That seed that can so encroach on your mind. And then it can grow until it will bring about the ability to depart from the living God. I've seen that seed grow over and over. And we've seen so many do this. God says, do not harden our heart, our minds, better said, is in the rebellion. Because that's where that unbelief starts. Those examples that God gave you and me. So God is telling us about a warning. And what we are to heed and what we are to be aware of. So let's look at Hebrews 4 in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let's notice what it's about. Let us fear. And I'm amazed sometimes at how there is no fear against going against God and how quick it can take place. And God is warning you and me here to fear. In other words, fear to disobey. That's what it's about. Lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. And we understand they did not have God's Holy Spirit. So God had it written here. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So that's what it's talking about. So we understand that they were without God's Holy Spirit. But we are not. We have God's Holy Spirit. And we've looked at these examples and we see how important these examples are. And we are to use these examples. And we are to see how they rebelled over and over. After all the miracles that they saw God do with that physical mind that they had. They saw that sea part, brother. They saw that sea close back over all of Pharaoh's army. So they saw those miracles. But it was done with the physical mind. That's how they saw it. Now we are at the end of an age. We've seen many miracles take place at the end of this age. We've seen the man of sin come and go. We know who he is. We know who he was. So we know where we are in time by those miracles that have taken place. We've seen those miracles that God produced so that you and me can still be in God's church and you can be sitting here today. That's a miracle in itself. And you have a front row seat to see the most awesome things that will ever take place upon the face of this earth, brother. That's what God has given you. There's not many that will see what you will see if you continue to the end. To see Jesus Christ coming back in those clouds. And to know what is taking place. When so many upon this earth will think we are being invaded from outer space. And they will turn to fight Jesus Christ returning back to this earth. But you will know whether you become a spirit being or whether you live into the millennium. You will know what is taking place. So God had all these examples written in His book about the miracles that He has done in the past and that He will do in the future. And they are written for you and me. And they are written so that we can understand it. And it's a miracle that you are sitting here today listening to these words. Verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, So I swore in my wrath they would not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place at the seventh day in this way. God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains, let's notice, that some must enter it. So what is God talking about? Some may enter it. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and we know who those are. We know God's plan. We know the order of things. We know God will harvest a crop from his garden. And you understand it. Jesus Christ said, would he find faith when he returned back to this earth? And we know that it will be few that find this way of life at the end of this age, to be offered what you have been offered. There will be few that have accepted this way of life. But we understand some that will live until the millennium at the return of Jesus Christ. So God lets you and me understand what is taking place. So that gives you and me faith in God's plan because of what he lets us understand. Faith in the great God of this universe and his Son that he will bring about what he says in this book. Let's notice the rest of that verse. And to those whom it was first preached did not enter. Let's notice why. Because of disobedience. Disobedience. It's the age-old story, brethren. Disobeying the instructions of the great God. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, better said, your minds. So this is a warning for you and me, not to do those things, to those that the end of the age has come upon, those that are alive. So it's about you and me at this time. Those that are alive at the end of an age. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest. Let's notice who it's for. For the people of God. It's who it's for. It's who will enter it. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example, even with God's Spirit. The same example of disobedience is what takes place. To disobey the instructions of our God about the way that we are to live our lives. To disobey those commandments of God. To let sin in our life. Those Ten Commandments that were written. So we are not to let the cares of this life in Satan's world affect our spiritual lives. We are in Satan's world at this time. We have to work in Satan's world. We have to have income to survive in this world, in this environment. God understands this. And God makes a way for you to survive. I've seen it over and over. So we are not to let the cares of this world surround us, those that are in God's church. Whatever it may be, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, whatever it is that can make us fall and not produce fruit in God's garden. So this is what God is telling you and me. We are to be laboring to enter the rest of our God that he is telling us about. That rest. And there is a wonderful thing on the horizon, brother. Jesus Christ is about to return to this earth to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth. God tells us in verse 12 that the Word of God is living and powerful. And let's notice how God had it written in His book about that Word. God says that His Word is living. In other words, it's alive. That Word is powerful. That word is sharper. So what is God telling us about this? He's telling us that that word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And let's notice what it does. It's that word that comes from God that tells you and me how to live our life. And let's notice what God said that word does. That is so sharp. So sharp that it will cut to the bone. Piercing even. Let's notice what it can do. And what it is saying. To the division of soul and spirit. So this sharp sword can divide the soul from the spirit. And without God's spirit, you will die, brethren. Eternal death. If sin is not repented of. So this word that you hear Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day, post by post, can actually separate you from God's spirit if you are not obedient. Disobedience, brother. It's the age-old story. That's been the downfall of so many. And it can pierce even unto the soul and spirit of joints and marrow. And let's notice what else is said. This word of God that cuts both ways. It is a discerner. Let's notice. It's about the mind, of the thoughts and intents of the mind. It's what it is. It's the discerner of our thoughts. And even to the intents of our mind. So if we have God's Spirit, that's what God can do. So we have to be careful and not get caught up in the futility of this world. And keep this mind that God has given you and me, keep it focused on the things of God. Those commandments that you and me are to live by. God says that His Word is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can separate you if that mind turns. If that little seed of doubt gets in there and grows. God can cut that spirit out of that mind, so to speak. We always have to remember what Jeremiah said, that this mind is deceitful above all things. So when we rely on this physical mind for understanding, it can take you out of God's church, away from the great God and His Son. God tells us this about this word, that it is quick, that it is powerful, that it is sharp, and that it can separate the mind from God's Spirit. It's a scary thing. God can take that spirit away, and we've seen it. So that's what's being said. And it is a discerner of your thoughts, that spirit that is in your mind. Let's go over to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And we will begin in verse 29, Luke 21, verse 29. God tells us about the cares of this life in the world that we live in. And God tells us about the cares of this life. And in Satan's world, we know that it is hard to keep our focus sometimes. Some of us have jobs that are so demanding. We always need to understand where we are. We are in Satan's world. And we have to put the effort forth to stay focused upon the way that God says you and me have to live. Even in Satan's world. So we're to be good stewards in Satan's world. If we are employers or if we are employees, it doesn't make any difference. God tells us through His Word how we are to deal with those situations. We are to live a certain way of life in God's that God tells you and me about through His book. And we are to use those commandments of God to direct our steps, to light our path, so to speak. In this world that we find ourselves in, we are to watch. And when we look at the events that are coming together in Satan's world, Russia, China, Iran, all of the Middle East is on fire. The financial situations of all the nations of this world It's not just America now. It's not just limited to the United States. It's the whole world now. And our financial, the money, the currencies that are here that man uses, that man tries so hard to heap up for himself. But all of this is coming to a crescendo that our minds cannot comprehend. When the economies of this world collapse, our lives can so change, brother. And I hope we understand and can see what is on the horizon. I know we can't comprehend all of it, but I hope we can see it on the horizon. I hope we can see those storm clouds building and see what is coming upon this earth. Luke 21 and verse 19, it's Jesus Christ speaking. And he spoke a parable and he said, and this is what Jesus said. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you can see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So this is the example that God uses, gardening principles, about when the trees begin to bud. And you know that fruit is about to be produced on that tree when you see those buds appearing. So when we look at all the weapons, the nuclear weapons that are on the face of this earth, and when we look at Iran and what they desire, why would anyone want a nuclear weapon? It's to destroy human life. That's why. We know that Satan is the destroyer. We know Satan is the god of this world. But that's why they want that kind of a weapon, to kill. Mass killings. That's what they're after. That's why they want those kind of weapons. And there are so many upon the earth at this time that it can kill every man, woman, and child many times over. That's our future. These weapons are so powerful, brother. And this is the shadow that we live under. The shadow of death that we live under at the end of this age. And we do not comprehend it. Man does not comprehend what is on the horizon. We go to sleep at night and sleep comfortably in our beds under that shadow of death. And we don't give it any thought. Does anybody think about it when they go to sleep at night? Anybody? No, we don't do it. But that will affect the nations of Israel. And we know who those are. All it would take today is to push a button. Just a button. And our lives would so change. That's the times that we live in. And it is like looking at that fig tree. That's the analogy that God uses. And we can see those buds on that tree, appearing on that tree. When we look at these nuclear weapons as the buds on the tree, we can see it's budding. There's a lot of buds on that tree at this time. And that could cause so much death and destruction. And we know it's coming. But we have hope. We have understanding. We know what's on the other side. But that button can take so many lives, brother. Can we comprehend such a time? We are living it. And it's an example that was given in God's book about that fig tree and those buds. And when we look at the value, and when we look at the morals in Satan's world, are there any morals left? Can you find an absolutely clean TV program to watch? Can you find an absolutely movie that you can sit down with your children and watch? That's the world we live in. So where are the morals in this world? Do we even know what the word means anymore? It means different things to different people now, this millennial generation that we have. What do we allow in our homes? Have we allowed sin under our own roofs? In the very place that we occupy? How do we conduct our lives? What about those that sleep under our roof? Do we allow sin to take place in our own homes? Brethren, it is like looking at Sodom and Gomorrah when we look around. We are much like Sodom and Gomorrah with the morals that we can see in this world. We can look around and see the gathering of events, those storm clouds that we can see gathering. Those other nations that will rise. China, Russia. We know what God has written in His book. We can see these nations coming on the scene and budding on that fig tree with much, much power, brother. China and Russia, we can see the alliances being made. We can see the economic collapse that is coming. We can see the nuclear weapons that are on the horizon. And it is like looking at that fig tree with those buds. And when we look around at these events, we can tell that that tree is budding, and it lets you and me know where we are in time. We are nearing the end of this age when Satan's world will come to an end. When Jesus Christ will come and set up the kingdom of God upon this earth and bring about a different set of morals to this earth, brother. The commandments of God will begin to be kept. Can we imagine of such a time? Can we imagine of what the TV programs will look like? Can we imagine what the movies would look like? With everyone adhering to those commandments eventually. God says it'll take 1,000 years. Take many generations when we go into the millennium because of what has been produced in Satan's world. Those morals that are there, that are so deeply ingrained, take generations, several generations. Verse 31, Jesus Christ said, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Just what we're talking about. When we see that fig tree budding, when we see those nuclear weapons budding on that tree, when we see the economic indicators budding on that tree, we have different buds on the tree. Both bring about much destruction. Much destruction that our minds cannot comprehend when those trucks quit running up and down those freeways. And that can so impact our lives. So Jesus Christ said, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. In other words, He's about to return to this earth, brother. Better said. And He said, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourself, lest your heart, your minds. Let's notice what Jesus is telling us. What Jesus said. And He said that His words will not pass away. And He said, take heed to yourself and let not your minds be weighted down. Just what we're talking about. With carousing. With drunkenness. The cares of this life in Satan's world. The enticements that are out there. The carousing, the drunkenness. The lust of the flesh that is in man. The enticements of Satan's world. And if we focus upon these things in this physical life and upon the things that we can possess in Satan's world, we have already lost our focus if we do those things. Let's notice what happens if you focus on these things. Because if you do, Jesus said, a day would come upon you unexpected. That's what God said in His book. So God's Spirit will no longer be active in your mind if those things take place. It will not be there, and you will not understand God's plan. And you will no longer have a front row seat, and you will not understand the events that are coming. I've seen it over and over. Once that mind turns and they leave God's church. So our lives can so change. So we have to keep our focus, is what Jesus is telling you and me. We are in the year of dedication, where that should be our focus. And I hope every one of you sitting here is taking that serious. I hope you understand what it's about, that year of dedication. Jesus Christ is telling you and me, don't let these things distract us. Don't let the trials take our focus off of God's plan, ever how severe it may be. Don't let the cares of this life take you out of God's church. God is getting ready to reveal Himself to this whole world. And Jesus Christ is about to come in and usher in a new age where He will be the King. A new age, and God tells us that don't let the cares of Satan's world affect our spiritual lives. Verse 35. He says, it will come as a snare on those who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. They don't believe it'll happen. Those that dwell upon the earth, they don't believe it can happen. They think they can fix it. How many are on that stage running for president? But regardless of how many it is, they all have the answers. Just ask them. They can fix it. Every one of them. All you have to do is give them the keys to the kingdom, and they'll fix it. That's what they'll tell you. We know better. We know who will fix it. We know what God's plan is. God has given you understanding that Satan's kingdom is coming to an end in just a short while. No one can fix this except the return of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. There is only one way that it can be fixed. Verse 36, God tells you and me to watch. In other words, you have a front row seat that where you can watch. You have a panoramic view of what is taking place. Jesus told us to watch and pray always. Let's notice. That we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass. And let's notice the rest of the verse. To stand before the Son of Man. He's coming back in just a short while. Pentecost of 2019. Some will stand before the Son of Man. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We are living in Satan's world, and it's not easy. I've said it before, and especially this last week, I could relate to the ancient Israelites of making brick without that straw. I couldn't find any straw. And I've talked to several, and they were making bricks without straw also. So we can comprehend what is meant by that term, making bricks without straw. And it's not always easy. So God tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 5, that we are to be obedient to those who are our masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. In other words, we are to live a certain way of life before those in Satan's world. Not with eye service, God tells us how, as men pleases, but as bond servants of Christ. In other words, the way you and me are to live. Doing the will of God from the heart, better said the mind, being obedient to God and live the way that God says to live before those in Satan's world. So we should be good employers or good employees, whichever it is. We should always be a good example. That's what's being said. We are ambassadors for Christ, brother. That's who we are. We are ambassadors of the great God of this universe and of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are to be an example. Verse 7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Tells us how. In other words, do it the right way, the correct way that God says do it. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free, whether you are an employee or employer. Do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So Jesus is telling you and me of a way to live our life, of a way to treat other people, both in the world and in the church of God. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, let's notice, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it. Let's notice why, that whole armor that you will need, not just a few pieces of that armor. God says we are to put all of it on. Everything that He has made available to you and me, we are to put it on so that we may be able to stand. Let's notice who we are, who it's talking about. The demon world. God says we are to put on the whole armor that He has provided for you and me so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle, let's notice, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So God lets you and me know who they are and that they are there. They are real. That demon world that rebelled such a long time ago. So at this time between the human nature that we have, that Jeremiah told us about that is in man and in mankind, that man is not able to direct his own steps. And the mind of man is naturally hostile to God in his way of life. So this is where our battle lies, between these two. And it's not so much about the physical battle that you and me have to worry about. It's the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in, that war that we find ourselves in. The battle for this mind. So we have to keep our focus on a better time that is coming. And when we look around at that fig tree, God tells us about the buds that are forming on that tree. Those things that are budding on that tree. The economic indicators that are budding on that tree. And the nuclear weapons that are budding on that tree. That shows us of a crescendo that is coming for man that our minds cannot comprehend. So God tells you and me, and He gives us eyes to see what is coming. And we know and understand that the kingdom of God is not far away because of what Jesus Christ told us about this tree. When we see that tree budding, Jesus said, understand that the kingdom of God is not far away and that He is about to return to this earth. So we need to keep in our understanding about this war that we are in, about this spiritual battle that we have, the battle for our minds that is taking place. And it is against wicked spirits and against the mind that God has afforded you and me. God tells us that Satan is the god of this world and that he drew a third of the angels that became demons. And we understand that they are here upon this earth. God lets you know that that is real. God lets you know what happened and why they are here and what they did. You understand it. We understand that Satan and a third of those angels that became demons, that they sinned. It's what God said. They rebelled. And when Lucifer understood what God was doing, when God let him know that he was going to create man, he did not like God's plan for man. God named him Satan. He became the destroyer. He sinned. So God lets us know what took place. God tells us in verse 13 what we have to do. We have to take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in the evil day. So when is that evil day? The day of Satan. 6,000 years of Satan. And having done all to stand while we are here upon this earth in the world that he has created during that 6,000 years. The day of Satan. God tells us how in verse 14 to stand. Therefore, having girded, let's notice what he's saying. Your waist with truth. And that's why you're here today on God's Sabbath day. To gird your waist with truth. And that's where we hear the truth of God. On God's Sabbath, week by week, holy day by holy day, post by post. That's when God teaches you and me. And this is the day that he has set aside to feed us, to feed that mind. That's what it's about, the mind. Those that are in his garden, those that are growing, those that he will harvest from his garden. So it's imperative that we understand what is about to take place upon this earth. God says in his word, and he says to stand before, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod our feet, let's notice, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able. Let's notice what we will be able to do if we do what God says. You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we know who he is. And we know what this is talking about. We know it's talking about the demon world that is shooting those darts at you and me. What God is creating. His family. Elohim. Satan didn't like what God was creating. So he is there as the destroyer. And we can see if God didn't intervene by just his very name that he would destroy every living thing upon the face of this earth. That's how bad he hated God's plan. God tells us that you and me have to fight this fight, and we have to do it with faith. Faith that God is leading his church. Faith that this is God's church. And it says, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench. Let's notice how it's said and what is being said. All those fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. We saw this earlier. What it was and what it is. Which is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. And supplication for all the saints. So God tells you and me how we are to fight this war, that we are to fight the battles that we have. And there are many. And it is the battle of your life for your spiritual life. That's actually what it is. Let's go over to Psalms, and let's see what David wrote a long time ago. Psalms chapter 11. David wrote this many years ago. Psalms 11 and verse 1. Let's notice what David said he did. In the eternal I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? So David is asking some questions. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. And sometimes those fiery darts are shot at us. And they sting. They hurt sometimes. And we've seen many of these fiery darts that have been shot at all of us as we have walked through Satan's world. And they are many. Those fiery darts have taken so many out of God's church, out of God's garden. And it hurts. It stings when we see it take place. When we see those fall by the wayside. Verse 3, let's notice what David wrote. If the foundations are destroyed, that's what happens. The foundations. David said, if the foundations are destroyed, that's actually what happens in the mind. Their foundations have been destroyed and they can no longer be in God's garden. It's actually what takes place. Let's notice the question. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So that's the question. If you destroy the foundations of what you believe in your mind, there is no solution for those that do this. If that foundation is destroyed, we have seen so many do just this very thing. Destroy the foundations of the mind. And when that mind takes that turn and that little seed takes place in that mind and it destroys the foundations that have been built in that mind. And some of it that we've seen many, many years, some that have walked side by side with you and me in God's church that had that foundation for so many years and they have destroyed it. And when that happens, most will not find their way back at this time when those foundations are destroyed. Let's notice verse 4, what David said. The Eternal is in His holy temple. So that's where God is. That's where God is working. And there's only one place that you can find God. That's what God says. God tells us where He's at. In His holy temple. So we understand that. It says the Eternal's throne is in heaven. That's where His throne is. And His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Eternal tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence His soul hates. So there is only one place where God can be. There is only one holy temple. There is only one true church of God upon the face of this earth where God dwells, and that is in His church, His holy temple. That's where you will find God. There is no other place upon the face of this earth except here, the Church of God, PKG, preparing for the kingdom that is coming to this earth. There's a lot of scattered groups since the apostasy. But there is only one true church of God, brethren. Verse 6, God says that upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. So we understand that it's everything in time, in God's plan, and in God's time frame. We have to face the trials and the futilities that we face in this life. We still have to keep our focus on God and what He is doing. God tells us that will come a time when He will rain coals of fire and brimstone, and it will be their portion. And we understand that Satan and the demons will be chained up in just a short while. They will be chained for 1,000 years. And then we find that God will deal with Satan. We understand his fate. God tells us of a time when all of this will take place for man and for the demon world. Verse 7. For the Eternal is righteous and He loves righteousness. And that's what it's about, to bring about righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. So God is watching, brother. He's watching what is in your mind. You can be turning to Romans 12. Romans 12. While you're turning there, I'm going to just quote something out of 1 Corinthians. You don't have to try to turn there. And it's because of the focus that we need to have. We always have to be aware of that demon world and the lust that are there in man that can fall prey to those lusts that Satan uses to entice man. God tells us, and we've seen this take place, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So that should be a warning to your mind right there, brother. When you think you have no need of nothing else, you have all the understanding. You understand the Sabbath. You understand the holy days. You understand the plan of God. God says when you think this, he says, let him take heed lest he fall. We saw many that walked side by side with you and me for many, many years, brother. And they have failed. They are no longer in God's garden. So it's a warning. And we've seen this about the human mind when it takes it upon itself to think for itself and to think outside of the way God says think. We've seen how that mind can swell. And I use the politicians in an example. But there have been many in God's church that have done the very same thing. They have let that mind swell. And they thought they stood. But actually, that mind, that little seed that had gotten in that mind had grown and grown. They think they stand. But now they have failed. And the sad thing is, they don't know it. They think they still have the truth, brother. They do not know that they have failed with that mind. God tells us through Paul that no temptation has overtaken us except it is common to man. The lusts that are there that affect all of us. The lust that we all have. But God is faithful who will not, let's notice, allow us to be tempted above what we are able to stand. If we stay focused, brother. If we stay. There's that word if. If. God lets us know that the trials will come that are common to man. They will be here until it's over. But those trials is how you and me grow. That's how we learn. Sometimes it's painful. But that's how we grow in God's garden. And God tells us that if we stay focused, we will not be tempted beyond what we can bear. That he will make a way of escape if we are striving to live his way of life. That more than we can stand will not be put upon us. It's what God says. It's not going to be easy. We can see the horizon. We can see that we will probably have to fight much harder for this way of life as we move forward in God's plan. We are in that spiritual war. And I think most of us understand that war that we are in. And it is a battle for our life that we have to fight for, that spiritual life. God said that we would be able to bear all that is put upon us if we just put our trust in him and be obedient to the way he says live our life. To keep sin out of our lives and not succumb to the lust that are in man. Let's go to Romans 12 and verse 1. God tells us what we should do. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. It's what God expects. When you're called by God, God lets you know about the Sabbath, the holy days. And it's such a simple thing that is so hard to do. Not to succumb to the lust of the flesh, the lust that are in man. But it's a simple thing to do. Stay obedient. Keep God's commandments. Sounds easy when you say it. God has made a way for you and me. He knows what we are. He knows this mind. He knows we will slip. Because that's the reason God had a plan. so that he could harvest some from his garden. But God expects you and me to be acceptable to him. It's what he expects. It is expected that you become that living sacrifice by the way that you live your life, by the way that you conduct yourself in Satan's world, even when dealing with others outside of God's church. There's a way that you conduct yourself. And when we find ourselves in severe trials, it is a living sacrifice that takes place. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's who we are. We are to be examples. We are to be examples to the world and to those in the church of God, to both. So God expects you and me to conduct ourselves in a godly manner all the time, not just on the Sabbath day, all the time. God says we are to be a living sacrifice. And we are not to be conformed to Satan's world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we do this Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day, when we come before the great God of this universe. God says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. It's not talking about gathering ourselves together. It's about coming before the great God of this universe, assembling yourself before the great God on the Sabbath, on the holy days. And we are to renew our mind on those Sabbaths, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, so that we will know how to live this way of life, the way that God says to live. God teaches us, brethren, and he's been teaching some of us for a long, long time. There's a lot of white hair out here, and I know some have been around for a long, long time. Won't call any names. Mine's getting pretty wide itself. But God teaches us on this day. That's when you renew that mind. And that's why you're here on the Sabbath. So that you may learn to live what is that good and acceptable will of God. God teaches us week by week, brother. And when we go all the way back to Moses, we see that obedience has always been the thing that man has always had problems with. Obedience. God says don't be conformed to Satan's world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we do that on the Sabbaths. For I say, through the grace that was given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Not to let that mind swell beyond what it should. That's what's being said. And that's why I use those politicians so much, because we can see those minds just swelling with the great things that they can do, bragging about how much wealth they have, just giving the keys to the kingdom and they can fix all things. And it's the age-old story. And we look at the history of man down through time. Man has always thought of himself with that mind, how great he is. We'd read the stories. We came through schools. We know all of them. Alexander the Great, you know, we know how great their minds were. We saw that pride that was there, self that was lifted up to think that they could do great things. And some of them really did. They killed a lot of people, brother. They did great things. And most of it resulted in death with those that did those great things. Those that thought they were in charge, to think that they can do something better than someone else. And the mind swells. So it's the age-old story of man. God tells you and me of a way that we should conduct ourselves in the church of God. And he tells us of the way that we are to think with his influence, God's influence upon the mind. And we've had sermons about the influences of the mind, and how we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Not let the mind swell beyond what it should. We know what we are. Jeremiah tells us what we are. Jeremiah tells us that we cannot direct our steps. We have to have influence upon this man. And that's God's influence. That's what you have to have. To even begin to understand the correct way to live life, you have to have that influence from God. Disobedience is the age-old story of man. That was Satan's problem. Disobedience. That's what he did. Rebellion. His mind swelled. He thought he could actually take over the throne of God. Can you imagine doing such a thing? To even think that. How much did his mind swell to think that he could actually do that? But he thought it. He thought he could actually take over God's throne. We know that story. Satan came to resent what God was doing. He did not like God's plan for mankind. So Satan came in disagreement with the way that God was doing things. And he rebelled. And we can do the same, even with God's Spirit, if we do not like the way things are being done in the church of God. That mind can so change. Just with a word from the ministry. And your mind can do that. We could rebel even with God's Spirit if we didn't like the way things were being done in God's church. And God is moving His plan forward, and there will be changes made in the church of God. We don't want to rebel when those changes are made. There was a time when Satan walked side by side with the great God of this universe. There was that time. But something happened in the mind, and his mind swelled. God tells us that we are not to do those things. We are to think soberly and don't let our mind swell. We need to focus on what God is creating, his family, his spiritual creation, Elohim. And we want to be there, brother. I hope all of us make it. I hope everyone sitting here makes it. Should bring you to your knees when you understand what is taking place and what you have been offered. That treasure. That pearl of great price that God has shown you where it is. We are more blessed than anyone upon the face of this earth, brethren. You are so blessed to have God's Spirit. And I hope you understand what you have been offered. God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. Let's notice what he gave us. A measure of faith. And that's how it's done. Through that measure that he gives you. To that mind. And then you can have a mind that can think soberly. Because of that Holy Spirit that he has given you. This human mind still thinks. It still thinks on its own sometimes. And it has that capability to just swell. To lift itself up. To think how great it is. To know better than God. And we've seen it happen over and over. Those that thought they knew better than God. Just like Satan. That's what he did. He thought he knew better. He thought he could run things better. That's the story of man also. Verse 4. God says that we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So God places us where he wants us. Sometimes that mind can have issues with this. Believe it or not. That mind that has God's Holy Spirit. God says he places us where he wants us. Sometimes that mind can swell up and thinks it knows better. When some are ordained or moved to different positions, God says we have many members in one body. But all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ. That's what we are. And individually members of one body. There is only one body. There are not many bodies. It's not many groups of the body scattered out here. The body is just not scattered everywhere. There is one church of God. Only one place where God is working. One place where God has His Spirit. Heaven then gives, let's notice what's being said, different. According to the grace that is given to us, let us use them in a godly manner, wherever that might be, in God's church. You are to take it and use it in a godly manner. You are to follow God's instructions. God has a government in His church, a way that He works. And we can do as Satan sometimes, and man has done down through ages, when changes are made. Verse 6. Having then gifts differed according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. In other words, where God places you. And He can move you around, brother, to different places, to give opportunity to someone else. We are going into the millennium, brother. I see these young faces sitting here. Who do you think it's going to start with, brother? So God places us in different positions and places. We have an apostle, we have prophets, we have evangelists, we have elders, we have associate elders, and some have been moved around. But we know that that is government in God's church to give others opportunity sometimes. But that is the way in the order that God has organized His church at this time. So we are to do the best of our ability wherever we are placed in God's church. But you don't need to go above what you have been given. You don't need to let that mind swell beyond what you have been given. Verse 8. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. In other words, do the job that has been given to you with diligence. Be a diligent person in God's church and in your life, brother. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. It is the way to do it, with mercy and cheerfulness. God is telling us of a way to conduct our lives, and He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And let's notice this one. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Verse 11. Let's notice how we are to be and what our focus should be. God teaches us not lagging in diligence. So we are to be diligent in whatever we do. Be diligent in the way that we serve our God. Be fervent in spirit serving the Lord. It's how we should live our lives, even with all the circumstances and the trials that we find ourselves in, even with Satan throwing those darts at us. Verse 12. We should be rejoicing in hope. And it's just like when Jesus Christ was hanging upon that stake, upon that pole. And when Jesus Christ counted it all joy for what was set before Him. When you think about that one for a minute, when you're hanging upon that stake and you're suffering, and Jesus said He counted it all joy. So it's the same kind of thing when we're in God's church because of what we know, because of what we understand. And it's just like what Jesus Christ did. He understood it all, brother. He understood what it was about. And that's why He counted it joy. He knew it would come to an end. And the suffering would be over. He hung upon that stake. He died upon that stake. And He counted it all joy. So that was Jesus Christ's focus. So we can learn from his focus and how important that was to see past the suffering. And some of us suffer. But we are to see beyond that suffering and see the joy that will be set before us. Eternal life. No more pain. No more suffering. No more dying. Can you comprehend such a time? So I hope you understand what you've been given. The understanding that God has afforded you. We should be rejoicing in that hope that God has shown us. That kingdom that is coming in just a short while. God says we have to be patient in our tribulations. And it's hard to be patient sometimes when we're in hard trials. But we have to focus past the suffering, past the tribulation, and look at the joy that is set before you. It will come to an end. We can see those storm clouds, brother. We can see those buds on that fig tree. Jesus said, when we saw those buds, know that it is time for him to return to this earth. And it is a time now when man can destroy everything upon the face of this earth. That's the buds on the tree. Our lifespan in the scheme of things is like a puff of smoke, brother. I can look around. I can see the white and the gray hairs, and they'll tell you, life is gone. It's come and it's gone. Where did it go? We look in the mirror and we are old, brother. I hate to inform you. Some of you are old. So it is like a puff of smoke. That's the way God had it written in his book. You're here and you're gone. And your time upon the face of this earth, you can't even put it on the head of a pin. That's what you are, in the, like dust on the scales in the scheme of things. Poof, we are gone. It's been quick. So tribulation cannot last very long in the scheme of things. God says that we should be patient in our tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's how we get through the tribulation, through prayer, and staying close to God. That's what we are to do. That's how we get through the trials. Jesus Christ made the way possible when that veil was torn in two from top to bottom while he hung upon that stake. That's what he did. He made that way possible for you and me. And that's why the joy was set before him, because he knew what he was doing. He was paving the way for you, brother. That's why it was joyful, because now many sons could be brought to glory, so to speak. He knew what was taking place. He knew that he was making a way for you and me to come before the great God of this universe. And now we can make our request known if we are suffering. We can now be forgiven of our sins because of what he did. It's an awesome thing that took place, brother. It's an awesome thing that God has given you to understand what took place. God says that now we can come continuously before him in prayer. Verse 14. We come to the hard parts. Bless those who persecute you. And it's hard for us to bless the IRS. I have a hard time with that one. I admit it. I kind of like Peter with the sword. You know, I could take care of it, you know, in just a few minutes. But God says we're not to do those things. The best thing to do is to call them. Just call those IRS agents. That's be the best thing you could do. Their time is coming. And I can relate with what Paul did. When he was persecuting those people in his day, the people of God, he had to live with that all of his life, brother. That thorn of the flesh that he was in, that had to be painful for him in his mind. To think of what he had done And I'm sure some of the brethren, that if you had been in his day and he had put this side in jail, you'd have a hard time. You'd have a hard time relating to Paul. Paul had a thorn in the flesh he had to deal with, and it was in his mind that he had to deal with. So, you and me have to do the same thing. We have to bless those that persecute us. And it's a hard task sometimes, but God says that's what we have to do. It's not their time. Jesus Christ said, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And I don't think the IRS knows what they're doing. The demon world knows what they're doing. They live in Satan's world, and it's not their time. And they are persecuting us. They do persecute us. And they don't know what they are doing at this time. But their time is coming. And they'll have to face all of us one day. God says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Let's notice, be of the same mind toward one another. So we should not have anything against anyone in the church of God. There should not be anyone in God's church that we hold resentment against. God says, don't set our mind on high things. Just like we were talking about that mind that has the capacity to swell. We are to associate with the humble. We know where we find the humble. We find them in the church of God. That's where we find them. We don't raise ourselves up above what we should. We are not to be wise in our own opinions and let that mind swell. We are not to think more highly than we should of ourselves. We are not to repay no one for evil. Evil for evil. Have good regard in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on us, in other words, depends on our part, what we have control of, that's what we are to do. That's what we are to strive to live our life by. To live peaceably with everyone. All men and women, we should strive to get along with everyone. Even those that are in Satan's world, but especially with those in the church of God. Verse 19, God says, do not avenge ourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. We know that time is coming, that God will repay his enemies. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, let's notice what happens. God says, you will heap coals of fire upon their heads. God says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we are to live. God tells us that there is a way that we have to live our life, and we are not to avenge ourselves. I understand why Peter took that sword. I really do. I understand why he swung it. That's what I have to fight. Because sometimes I think I can take care of it. Just give me that sword. It'll be short-lived if you just give it to me. So I understand what's being said. Vengeance is not ours. Vengeance is God's. That's what God says. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. God tells us that he has enlightened the eyes of our hearts. Better said, the mind. We know it's about the mind. So that we may understand what is taking place. And it should bring you to your knees because of the understanding that you have. Out of all of mankind, look around at all that is in this world. Look around at this room. Out of all of mankind, you are the most blessed because you have found that treasure that God wrote about in this book. That treasure that is in that field. that pearl of great price that God has given to you. Understanding. That's what it is. Understanding of what is taking place. Understanding of what God has offered you to have spirit life, eternal life. No pain, no suffering. That's what it's about. That's the most precious thing that you could ever attain upon the face of this earth, what you have. To have God's Spirit in your mind. And even if you die, that treasure, that pearl of great price, is there. If you have been obedient. God tells us that He has enlightened the eyes of our mind, better said. And He has, because He has given you so much understanding. God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it tells us right here that God was the Father of Jesus Christ, who has blessed you and me. Let's notice what He blessed you with. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in and through Jesus Christ. So I hope we understand what's being said. Blessed with every spiritual blessing. Because of what He has given you. Because of that Spirit that is in your mind. That pearl that is there of great, great price. You can't even put a value on it, brother. How could you put a value on what God has given you when you think about it? You have found that treasure. God says that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in and through Jesus Christ. Just as He chose in us, let's notice when He did it, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. In other words, we should be obedient, without sin. To keep sin out of our life. That's the sacrifice that was made, the Passover. Jesus Christ became the Passover so that this could take place. So that we could be holy and without blame. And this plan was set in motion before time ever began, brother. Having predetermined us, better said, to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. That's how it's done. According to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. And we are so blessed to understand about this plan that was put in place before time began. You understand it. You understand when it all began. That's what you were given. Understanding. The treasure that you were able to purchase, that was in that field, the field of the whole world. And you have that pearl. I hope you appreciate what God has let you understand. Let's look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. Through His blood that was spilled to the ground, that He counted it as joy. While He was dying upon that stake. So that we could have this forgiveness of sin, and that was the price that was paid. So that you could have it. In Him we have redemption through His blood. So this is talking about Jesus Christ and the price that He paid. And now we can have this forgiveness of sin, and we can go to the great God of this universe and make our request known. And when that veil was torn in two from top to bottom, that's what this pictures. That's the picture that is painted. Our ability to go before the great God. And that's what sets us aside from the rest of mankind. Because we have this forgiveness of sin. And because of God's plan that He has for His family, Elohim. God has His garden. God will harvest a crop from that garden. Verse 8. Which He made to abound toward us, let's notice, in all wisdom. So let's pay attention to what's being said because of what God has given you. He has afforded you to see His wisdom and His plan, and that wisdom is the plan for mankind, to understand that whole plan. In all wisdom and prudence, having made known just what we're saying, having made known to us the mystery of His will. It's no longer a mystery to you, brother. It is to the world, but it's not to you. God has given you that understanding. And now, with that understanding, if you grow in God's garden, you can now be harvested from that garden. It's an awesome thing to understand. And He has made this mystery known to you about His garden, about what He is doing, about His harvest that will take place from that garden, about that treasure, about that pearl of great price that He has given you. Let's notice verse 14. God says, we have a guarantee, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase price. In other words, until you are harvested from God's garden. And I hope you understand what you've been offered. The guarantee that you have if you don't turn away, if you continue in this way of life. You have the forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ paid that price. And it's a guarantee of your inheritance unless you turn away from the great God of this universe. Let's notice verse 18. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. That's actually what's taking place. That understanding in the mind. And God says it in this way. That's the way He says it. The mind that would be open to His plan, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. You could now know what is man. You could now know why is man upon this earth. And just as David said a long, long time ago, now you can understand. You have understanding. Because the eyes of your understanding have been opened to the great God of this universe and His plan. You understand about that spiritual creation that is taking place in God's garden. You understand about that harvest in God's garden. And now you can see the hope of the rest of mankind when they will be harvested from God's garden, just like you will be, all of us. That is the understanding that you were given so that you could find that treasure that God tells us about in His book. You understand the hope for the future now. You understand God's plan for all of mankind. You understand what will take place next. You understand about the millennium. You understand about the 100-year period. You understand about the fate of those that have rebelled. All that have rebelled. God tells us He has a day for those. And it will be cleaned up. No more crying. Can you imagine such a time? No more pain. No more suffering. Eternal life. Spirit life. This plan was laid out, God said, before time ever began, so that you could be harvested from His garden. So, brethren, we are God's field. We are the Church of God, PKG, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And now you are a part of God's garden. And you are being prepared to be harvested from that garden. It's an awesome thing to understand what God is doing. I hope you have the excitement of what God is doing in His plan. I hope you have the excitement of knowing what is about to take place when God sends Jesus Christ back to this earth to set up His kingdom upon this earth with the first harvest from God's garden. So, brethren, stay focused on what God has given you, that understanding. And that will conclude the sermon today.